morning and welcome again. I would like to invite Mr. Keith Smith to come on up, pray over him, and set him loose to do what he does, what he is excellent at this morning, and that is talking about Jesus and sharing that with others, his love for Jesus, his love for the church. So I am excited to be here this morning and to hear Keith. When Keith and I talked together at Kingsway last year, I had the privilege of at least once a month hearing him during chapel. And I loved every single second of it. He's an excellent communicator, so I'm excited for us this morning. So let me pray over him and set him free. Father, thank you again for the gift of this day. Father, we are grateful that Keith is here with us. I pray, Father, for all that he has prepared to share with us this morning. God, give us open ears, open eyes, and open heart to hear and to receive what you would speak through your servant this morning. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Michael. That means a lot coming from you. I've been at Kingsway, where Michael and I met for, this is my 10th year teaching there, but I've been around the community of Kingsway for 17 years. Three of our daughters went to Kingsway pretty much from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade, and so I've been around that community for a long time, and I would have to say that Michael was such a gift and a blessing as a Bible teacher, but not just a Bible teacher. He had a way of dealing with middle schoolers that I don't think I've seen the level of anointing for middle school like I saw on Michael. And those young men still talk about him, and they're saying something about coming to your house or something like that. They want to come to his house. And so I was really happy when he took that role, because I don't have that same anointing with middle schoolers. But just as a friend and a brother, discussing prayer, spiritual formation, scriptures, it was just an amazing time, and so I appreciate you for that, and thank you for inviting me to be a part of this community today. Even though I am a little, I don't know the best way to describe it, but I'm a little disappointed that you didn't invite me to come on January 22nd with the hot now Krispy Kreme donuts, but we could talk about that later. Later. Thank you. Thank you. You offered snacks before service. That would bring me back. That definitely will bring me back. So thank you. All right. So thank you, Velma. Thank you. Thank you. And the wellness ministry. So they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. Well, yeah, this feels like home. So thank you again for having me. I want to be able to contribute to the series that you all are currently in the Gospel of Luke. I did a series back home at our church a little over a year ago on the four Gospels. And the four Gospels, to me, if you know, you look at them, there's different people that describe them in different ways. But they're like four parts in harmony. And I appreciate the harmony this morning, the a cappella. My wife and I both were raised in a cappella singing churches, and just hearing all of the parts coming together. My wife leaned over like, oh, I love the bass line here. And just, you know, and I'm like, oh, did you hear that tenor? Did you, you know, and So we love that. And the Gospels are like a four-part harmony. You can have your favorite, right? You know, you can have your favorite part. But when you look at them all together, nothing compares to the harmony that you get from all of them blending together. Each gospel writer has a unique voice and perspective that they are trying to communicate in their gospel. In Luke, we can hear his Gentile voice coming through. And, you know, I have different gospels that are a favorite to me depending on a season in life I'm in, right? Or there's parts that you find throughout different gospels that aren't in others. But for this season of my life, for the past couple of years, Luke has actually been my go-to gospel. I'm really feeling Luke in this season. Luke was Greek, and most scholars believe that he was born in Antioch. This makes Luke the only Gentile with a book in the Bible, actually two books along with Acts. Luke is the longest of the Gospels, even though Matthew's Gospel has more chapters. And between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, Luke wrote a little over 27% of the New Testament, which is more than anyone else, including Paul. And so his voice is a prominent voice in the New Testament. Luke's gospel is the most eloquently written of the gospels. This is most likely because of Luke's knowledge and ability to write in his native Greek language. There are 100 words only found in Luke and Acts. He had an extensive vocabulary. Luke's gospel is a very inclusive and subversive gospel. Jesus comes to bring salvation by turning the world's order upside down. In Luke's gospel, you'll find his attention on bringing out the voices of women. Luke provides more passages about women than any other gospel, including 23 unique stories. Amen. Yeah, amen. Luke is really a breath of fresh air. I appreciate his voice again throughout the New Testament. And so the passage that Michael asked for me to pray on and sit with and then share with you today is taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. And I think this is a really good passage for this season of Epiphany that we are in currently. For the next several weeks, as I look throughout Scripture, trying to find where Jesus is being illuminated and his gospel of peace is being expressed. And this is an excellent passage for that. And so I'll read through and in different places I might pause and then I'll bring some things in as I close out my time this morning. So let's look at this together. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus. The name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, this is about 40 days. Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Jesus, I thank you this morning for the reading of your gospel. I thank you for the voice that Luke brings to us, that still echoes to us in this day that we are alive. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will anoint my words, that I can communicate effectively your truth, and that each of us will leave from here in a better place, with a deeper connection and a heart that burns for you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we are looking at this passage together, I want to draw our attention to these two individuals that we are introduced to, Simeon and Anna. I've been sitting with this scripture for a few weeks now, but I would have to say that it wasn't until last night, and even on my drive here this morning, that I began to deeply connect with Simeon and Anna. Not because I'm in the golden years of my life, 46, I'll be 47 in about a week. Young, thank you. Thank you. I definitely will be coming back, Michael. Definitely. I like this church. But I know what it's like to wait. I know what it's like to long for something. I know what it's like to experience loss in the pain, in the void, in the grief. I know what it's like to pray and pray and wait. I could connect with the promise that Simeon received from God as this is going to come and this is going to happen in your lifetime. But yet the days and the weeks and the months and the years go on and you wonder, was I just hearing something? Was this just me? Or did God really give me a promise? Because as I look around, it doesn't look as if any of these things are even possible or close to happening. And I connected with that in a deeper way this morning. And I could imagine in a room with this many people that many of you can connect with these same testimonies that Simeon and Anna have. And I could imagine the morning when Simeon got up like maybe any other morning, that the Holy Spirit came upon him, we are told, and told him, you need to get to the temple now. And maybe it was a familiar presence. Maybe it was a familiar sound in his spirit and in his heart. Like when he first received the promise from God that you will not die until you see the Lord's Messiah. Maybe it was a burning in his heart like that original word. And something inside of him said, this might be the day. And so he shows up. I don't know what he was expecting to find or to see in the temple. All he knew is, this is the day you will see the Lord's Messiah today. Was he expecting a grown man? Was he expecting to find an eloquent speaker? A freedom fighter, someone with affluence and maybe a following, an entourage behind him. I don't know what he was expecting to see. How would he know when he got to the temple who the Lord's Messiah was? And then he sees this couple, Mary and Joseph. From out of town. They're in Bethlehem, about 5 miles away. And they were bringing their firstborn son. I wonder if he watched them for a while, if maybe he was drawn to this family. They don't have much. They're offering the sacrifice of pigeons. What did you say the child's name is? Jesus. I wonder if the Holy Spirit started to burn in his heart the closer that he got to this child. Because Simeon recognized the Holy Spirit's moving and stirring. And when he gets to this baby, it's like, this is the promise. He is stirred so deeply, he begins to sing a song. And for me this morning, the song that came to me, I'm going to get to Simeon's song, but for me this morning is, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, because if we could say anything about God, is He is faithful. He doesn't always come when we want Him to come, right? But He always comes when it's the right time. Great is your faithfulness. But Simeon had a song. My eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation, and it's a little 40-day-old baby. Salvation. Salvation is a person. We're not saved by a plan. We're not saved by a principle. We are saved by a person. We're saved by Jesus. This is the revelation that Simeon is receiving as he's looking at this baby. My eyes have seen your salvation. He brings into his song Isaiah 49 and 6. This is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. The salvation that Simeon saw was going to reach way beyond Israel. Somehow, Simeon and Anna's enduring patience produced in them a peace and a joy that extended beyond themselves. Unfortunately, this is not the only response to this radical and gracious message of the gospel. In Acts 13, Paul quoted the same passage from Isaiah 49 that Simeon quoted, but experienced a much different response. Paul was in Antioch, speaking to the group there. And Paul preached the good news that the light of salvation was for all people. As Paul spoke, the Gentiles began to rejoice when they heard his words. But the Jewish leaders, who were considered the insiders, were filled with anger and jealousy. It's amazing how the same prophecy that brings rejoicing and hope in Luke chapter 2 causes another group to be so angry that they end up resorting to violence in Acts 13. Persecution seems to always follow the preaching of the gospel of peace. It's really sad to see how deeply invested people are in their systems of us versus them. And this is the very system that Jesus comes to save us from. Jesus destroyed the dividing wall of separation and hostility between people groups in order to create one new humanity. And as the disciples and the apostles began to preach this good news of the gospel, that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, but one. Just one in Christ. This was a radical message at his time, in his day, and it's still a radical message today. There's something about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the invitation for all to come. And when we come together, there's no hierarchy of this is a greater group and this is a lesser group. And, well, these people have more of an inside and these people are on the outside. When it comes to the gospel of Jesus, there's just one group of people. And those are blood-washed followers of Christ. This is good news. This is good news. Until people start showing up and laying claim to the good news that we have always held close to us, but maybe they don't look or maybe they don't fit or maybe they don't come across in the way that we might think they should. And then it becomes challenging news, but good nonetheless. And this is what Paul was experiencing. He's speaking this news that you all come. You know, I appreciate the communion today. I appreciate us being able to come to the table of the Lord. Do you know how you know if it's the Lord's table? Because all are welcomed. Amen. The moment it starts to be like, well, you could come, but you can't. It has ceased to become the Lord's table, and it's become your table. Because God's table through Christ is an invitation for all to come. All come. Come. Come to me. But this is a radical message, especially in the day that we are living in. There is such a draw and a pull for polarization and division and separation and fearing other people who aren't like us, that we have become so divided and in silos. We have found ourselves in trenches, and everybody looks like an enemy from a trench. But the call today, and this voice of Luke, who was a Gentile outsider, is this gospel is good news for all. And we need to lay aside everything that gets in the way of love in order to meet Jesus in the center of this time and world that we are alive. But understand, when you make that step, you are also bringing persecution on. Because not everybody wants to see this happen. And I think this is why we have in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 and 9 and 10, we have blessed are the peacemakers, these builders of shalom, these bridge builders. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And this is directly followed with, and blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Because these usually go together. Peacemakers are also the persecuted. We'll be celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tomorrow, and in this week coming. It's incredible that when you have a voice like Dr. King's, in the time when he is alive, it is a voice that caused many to rejoice, but at the same time caused also many to be angry. And voices like Dr. Martin Luther King that are peacemakers oftentimes pay the highest price of being persecuted and laying down their lives. It's the reason why we don't have that many voices. But I want to give a challenge to each of us today. And as you go through this Gospel of Luke, continue to open your heart. Continue to seek Jesus, what are you doing in my time and in my day? Allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you and flow through you. When he tells you, you need to be here at this time and be there at that place, be there. Because I believe we're living in one of the greatest times of great potential and possibility. Let's stand together. Thank you for your hospitality, the courtesy of your time today. Can I pray? And you gonna have? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Michael and his family. God, I pray that this year, 2023, will be a year unlike any year that they've experienced as a community. There's a great history in this place, God. But I believe that what you're doing now and what you plan to do is much greater than the years behind them. God, I pray for refreshing to come to this church. God, I pray that hearts will be set on fire in this church, from the youngest to the oldest. God, I pray that you will stir and awaken them to everything that you're wanting to do and accomplish. And just as the Holy Spirit rested upon Simeon, may your Spirit rest upon this church as well. And it's in Jesus' name I pray these blessings today. Amen. Amen. Thank you.